Our scripture reading is taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And then we'll be looking at Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 75 through 77. Hear the words of the Lord. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now let's turn in to the back of our hymnals for Heidelberg Catechism. We're looking at questions 75. 76 and 77, Lord's Day 28. And please follow while I read, just to make sure. Sometimes there are little variations in the different translations. Question: how does the Holy Supper remind and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his benefits? In this way: Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup in remembrance of him. With this command come these promises. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup shared with me, so surely his body was offered and broken for me and his blood poured out for me on the cross. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of him who serves and taste with my mouth the bread and the cup of the Lord, given me as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely he nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. Question 76. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his poured out blood? It means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ in this way to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But it means more. Through the Holy Spirit who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. And so, although he is in heaven and we are on earth, we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And we forever live on and are governed by one Spirit as the members of our body are by one soul. Question 77, where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood as surely as they eat this broken bread and drink this cup? In the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This promise is repeated by Paul in these words: "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." May God bless his words and the teaching of his words to our heart as we hear them proclaimed, that we might be strengthened to do battle against the devil, the world, and our flesh. The joys of the Lord's Supper. The joys of the Lord's Supper. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, doctrines are not boring at all. If you find them boring, it's either because you're not paying careful attention, which I'd prefer to blame than the minister, or we're not teaching it like we should. So as we look at the doctrine of the Lord's Supper today, pay careful attention, and I will try my best to teach it properly. Our headings are three, and they're outlined in your bulletins. The Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of the covenant. Second, the Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of the gospel. And then third, the Lord's Supper is sustenance for the weary Christian. Our goals are that you will have a richer understanding of the Lord's table, and that you will then be drawn closer to the Lord as you eat at that table. First, the Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of the covenant. Well, this is the easy part, and I hope this is a quick review for you. But the Lord's Supper is a sign and a seal of Christ's redeeming work for you. It is a sign like the sign on a store. It says the name of the store, what's for sale in the store. And you think of a sign would be as well, you give a good sign and you can sell your products better. A sign can be wonderful. But another thing, when you think of signs, you give, if you're getting married, the man is commissioned to give his wife an engagement ring and a wedding ring, and it's always a beautiful thing. And she remembers the love that's attached with that ring. But what if you were to give your wife a plastic ring or your girlfriend and say, I want to engage you, here's this little plastic, maybe pick it off from a Coke can or something. Would that be a good sign? No, certainly not. No one will be happy. But the Lord give us a good sign, something that will bring joy to our hearts. It's not just a sign, though. It's a seal. It leaves a deeper impression upon us. A seal is like the imprint on a certificate, which shows authentication. It's kind of interesting, too, that the Lord's Supper is recorded three times in the Scriptures. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Triple witnesses means it's serious business. It's a reason something is recorded three times in the Bible. Here's what the first rendering says in Matthew 26, 26 through 28. For as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. There it is. He says the Lord's Supper is a covenant sign and a covenant seal, as you would see or have already seen. It's a sign for the store, but it's an imprint on a certificate. It's more intense. It's beautiful and it's serious. And that brings joy to God's people. Now, Jesus, of course, was not saying that the bread was literal human flesh, nor the wine literal human blood. He meant that the bread represented his body and the wine represented his blood. Why did he use such strong language, though? Well, he wanted the hearer to pay attention, that as he ate the bread and as he drank the wine, he was showing that he was receiving the Lord's body and blood into his heart. The Apostle Paul used the same language in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 25, and you've heard these many times. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So the covenant signs were clear, and the covenant signs were commanded, and the covenant signs were desirable. Where did this idea come from, of the Lord's Supper? From the Passover, of course. The blood of Jesus, symbolized by wine, pictured the blood of the lamb that was killed and painted on the doorposts, according to Jewish history, in the form of two crosses on every Israelite home. But you can go back farther to see this sign in the Garden of Eden when God killed animals and provided covering after the blood of those animals was shed. But why don't we have blood anymore? Because the work is done. Why do you drink wine? You drink wine for celebration. The work is done. That's why we say these signs are sensible. And what about the bread? What's the symbol of the bread that we have today? We don't have to have unleavened bread. The bread is a symbol of God's providential care, of his provision for everything we need. Jesus is called the bread of life who nourishes us. And when we have this meal, it's a symbol of kinship. After all, no one sits down and eats with an enemy and says, "Come on, I hate you, let's eat." It's always, "Oh, we're friends, come on over." It's Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever, all holidays. Come on over, let's eat together, we're in good terms. And we've got these good terms. We've got the horizontal benefits where we love each other. And then we have the vertical benefits between God and man. We are able to eat together. So it's a closeness, a covenant that we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. But the richness goes beyond simply that. You know, when you eat a nice juicy steak, it's good. And it satisfies you for, just like some of us, for a good 15 minutes. We're ready for something more. But you know, when you receive by faith that bread and that wine, it becomes a source of nourishment for your soul. What will nourish your soul? Your mother could make the best boiled green beans or whatever soup you had today. It only satisfies your body, maybe. But when you receive this, your soul is satisfied. That's why those who refuse to eat the Lord's Supper are sinning. You know why? It's spiritual suicide. It's starving yourself of this meal. Or if you just take it and don't think about what you're doing, you're only getting half the meal. You're only getting the sign side. You're not getting the nourishment part. That's the difference. You have to receive it for its purpose. And don't ever think you're unworthy, because Christ made you worthy. By yourself, of course you are. We all are. But Jesus has adopted us. And who adopts children and starves them? Not very good people. But at the same time, because this is a covenant meal, non-believers and pretenders ought not to take it. It is a holy food for the strengthening of the soul, and those who inappropriately take the Lord's Supper profane the Lord's Supper. Remember why Adam and Eve were not only put out of the garden, but angels were guarding the gates to Eden? It's because they were not allowed to eat of the tree of life. And that's why if you're not a believer... Now, sometimes people or even members of the church who are not believers. If you know you don't believe in Jesus, do not eat the Lord's Supper. It's not intended for those who do not believe. It's not for those people who think they're perfect. It's for weak Christians, of those who need nourishment and reassurance. That's fine. We're all sinners who come to the Lord's Supper. But we come as sinners saved by grace. But it's more than just a covenant sign. It's more than just the mere sense of nourishment for our souls. There's a certain richness that we see in question and answer 76. The Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of the gospel. To eat the Lord's Supper means you are saved by believing in your heart that the Lord Jesus suffered and died for you. You believe your sins are removed. You believe you have eternal life. It's more than being in a relationship, a covenant relationship. Not all covenant people are saved. Every Christian is. Jesus said in John chapter 6, reading verse 35, 40, and from 50 on, he said this, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Verse 40, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." See the nourishment there and the salvation. 50. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Whoever eats my flesh," 54, "and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So here the Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of the gospel of Jesus Christ, richer and fuller. And to eat of the Lord's Supper means you truly believe in him. And then who eats of the Lord's Supper? Those who are close to Christ. When you eat of the Lord's Supper, you're united with Christ by his Holy Spirit. And when you eat of the Lord's Supper, you're united with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're now part of the family of God. It was the same act, but one is picturing more strongly the work of the gospel in us. John 6:55 says, "For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." It's a beautiful and poetic way to express the work of Christ for you. You become one with him. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" This bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? You see the closeness there, that is the thing that's taking place? Yeah, it's not Christ's physical body. After all, we wouldn't be able to eat Christ's physical body. But it's his spiritual body. When we eat that bread and we drink of that wine, we are taking it into us by faith, and our souls are being nourished. It shows that we are one with him. What a meal to have. Better than anything you could possibly eat. To eat the Lord's Supper regularly, furthermore, says you are drawing closer to him. The more time you spend together, you know, before you're dating someone, maybe you see them once in a while, then you get married, and then the relationship is closer, and you're having more and more meals together. And that's what happens when you become a Christian. You draw closer to the Lord and you're nourished by him. You don't want to avoid meeting with him. After all, Ephesians 5 says, "No one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and his flesh and of his bones." Don't you show more closeness to your spouse? Not just by your words, not just by the signs, but by your actions. The more you spend time together, good conversations, doing things together, the more you eat together, there's a joy, a love. You know, when you get married, you think you couldn't love your a wife anymore. And then you learn a whole lot more, the depth of love that you feel afterwards. You think, boy, why did she marry me then? She didn't know how little my love was then. But your love grows, and that's the thing. You spend time with the Lord. You spend time at the table, eating together. And that's why I chose that passage from John 15 as a text. The branch feeds on the vine, as in the Lord's Supper. It is as if, if you are not in the branch, you can't get nourishment. What will happen? You will wither and die. That's why I call it spiritual suicide for people who refuse to take the Lord's Supper. Same thing, of course, with the Word of God. You don't want to listen to the Word of God. You think, I'm saved, I don't need preaching, or I don't need the Lord's Supper. You'll wither and die. Jesus said, you better stay in me so you will be nourished. 1 John 3:24 says, now he who keeps his commandments abide in him. Who keeps God's commandments abides in him, and he in him, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides by the Spirit whom he has given to us, God's Holy Spirit working in us. The Holy Spirit seals us and reminds you of the seal each time you take of the Lord's Supper. It's a good reason to take it more. Never miss it. You see, what happens then is that you are authenticated as a Christian. Just like you're reminded of your love for your wife and your children or your husband when you sit together. It shows you're part of a family. It shows you got the relationship of brothers and sisters. It shows you have the relationship of a Father in heaven, yours through the Lord Jesus Christ. This must bring you joy. Talk to someone who was adopted, and they'll tell you the joy of being part of a family. And it's even a sinful family. It's not even a perfect family to join, let alone being joined to the Lord Jesus Christ and be adopted in his family. It is a celebration of your salvation. I mean, have you ever heard a wife say, stop it. You're giving me too many symbols and assurances of your love. Cut it out. You ever hear a wife say that? I'd be shocked if my wife says that. We like that, don't we? Every bride does. And the bride of Christ should also. Remind us how much you love us. Show us how you will feed us. And then to eat the Lord's Supper means you're preaching Christ. You're preaching his death for the lost. You ever think about that? You proclaim to each other and to every visitor who comes here that you belong to Jesus Christ and you are nourished by him. You know, in our mind, we think, well, let's get everyone in. Sometimes people want to include people who are not believers. Just pass the plate around, give it to everyone. That's not good. When people see you eating, they want to know, what is this thing that God is doing for them? Why is it that they're the ones getting it? It's a good point to ask questions. It's a good basis of sharing the gospel. We know firsthand, I had one case in Scarborough where that happened. A lady just wanted to eat the Lord's Supper, and she saw it, and it kept bugging her. And she asked, and we told her. And the Lord did a wonderful work in her life. It's a means of preaching the gospel. 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what do? You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You're speaking to others as well. So tell the world, your husband loves you, the one in heaven. Show the world that your husband loves you, the one in heaven. And there's not a woman in this world who doesn't want to tell the world when her husband does something. I've seen pictures of the most frivolous things that a husband does for a wife on Facebook. They want the world know, to know how about what Jesus did for you? Doesn't that give you joy? Doesn't that make you want to tell others about it? Surely it does. And finally, the Lord's Supper is a sustenance for the weary Christian. You know what it's like to be hungry, really, really hungry, and then get a piece of old bread? I've seen people, you travel a little bit, you get to see people in great hunger. If you were really hungry, would you refuse it? Surely not. You would want to live, so you would eat that bread. But what if you were dying of hunger and you get the most delicious thing you could ever imagine? How would you feel then? Man begging on the streets, and people do that around Thanksgiving time and so on. They might give them a big slab of turkey and all the trimmings and things and watch those people eat. There's joy in their hearts. And of course there's joy. And of course they would thank the giver. Now the Lord's Supper is the most luxurious meal you could ever have. And God give it to you, not just when you were poor and weak, but when you were dead. He raised you up from death and then gave you this exquisite meal of nourishment, this fine meal. And then he said, you know what? Come again next time, I'll give it to you again. You will never stop eating it in this life. And then when you go to heaven, there's the great supper that's waiting for you again. So if you are a weary traveler, how do you respond then to the one who raised you to life? The one who gave you this deep nourishment, this most nourishing food of all? Do you grab hold of it and say, thank you? Can I have some more, please? That's how you have to look at the Lord's Supper. Not something that says, oh, the service is going to be longer this week. But rather, let me think afresh of what Jesus did for me. Let my mind go back to the cross as I close my eyes and see the crown of thorns upon his head and the blood dripping down, those five wounds that he bore for you. Yeah, it's nourishing food. When you receive that by faith, what a blessing it is to you. Let's conclude. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper for the nourishment and comfort of his bride. For the nourishment of his bride, the comfort of his bride. It is a symbol of that covenant relationship he has with you. But more than the covenant relationship he had with you, it is a symbol of the gospel that he offers to you. And then when you receive it, it draws you closer and closer together. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if you get this message of the Lord's Supper, it will make you love the Lord more. He cares. He not only provides for your daily needs, but he provides for your souls. Worship service twice on Sunday, Lord's Supper regularly as a means of nourishing you. That's love. More, this should make you want to stay closer to him, won't it? If a husband loves you and takes care of you, you don't want to leave his side. And so with our Lord Jesus, you want to stay close to him. This will also make sure you don't miss the Lord's Supper, that you treat it as this excellent meal that you so desperately need for your soul. But more, if you get the message of the Lord's Supper, this will make you tell others of the spiritual food, and you'll want to invite them to the Lord Jesus so they would receive his shed blood as their shed blood, and you plead that before God. See, there's always enough. The Lord's death was sufficient for the whole world. So nourishment could, the whole world could be nourished by his death. Now think about this. Who has an abundance of food? You got food falling out your front door and you see people starving and you say, well, too bad. They didn't, that's their tough luck. Or do you say, look, we've got something. Come on in. We'll get a meal. Is that what you, wouldn't you want to tell them that? You shouldn't be afraid and say, oh, come, the service will be longer this week, but you're okay to come. Let them come and see the Lord's Supper. That's something to invite people to. That's your evangelistic witness. Look at what God gives. Come, you too can receive this nourishment for your souls so you don't starve and die. You see, without the Lord, Jesus is death. Death. And finally, if you want food for your soul, you must be adopted into God's family. We're God's family. Why not ask him to change your heart, make you his child, so you can receive the food that you need the most? He has an abundant food for your souls. As the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us your words to hear again today. Thank you for a reminder of the wonder of the Lord's Supper, the nourishment that it can be for us. Help us not to treat it lightly, but to long for it. Never stay away from it. Oh, Heavenly Father, you have given us such wonderful signs, such wonderful assurances of your love. And far be it from us to ignore it. And the next time we have the Lord's Supper, let it be that we would anxiously gather together to be nourished by you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.